This is a production of Cornell University.
Okay, so it's 5:32. I think we should go ahead and get started. I'm going to call this meeting to order. Today is the February 1st, 2021. Thank you all for joining us today. Let's begin by taking the roll call, if we could please. And if we'd start the live auto transcript, that would also be good.
Okay. I just started the live auto transcript. And then to start roll call, Mila Kantar.
Here.
Matthew Welch. Hannah Cole.
Here, present.
Stephanie Lopez. Paul Vinage.
Here.
Marty Chatterjee. Tim Ludermoser.
Present.
Maddie Keefe.
Here.
Jordan Dotzel. Casey Laurent.
Here.
Cody Duell.
Here.
Chris O'Connor.
Here.
Meredith Welch.
Here.
Hannah Bidiger Curtis.
Here.
Ruth Barinkovich.
Here.
Karina Barras.
Here.
Emery Shonley. Matt Schaffler. Matthew Sturgeon. Christine Owenewa.
Here.
Ryan Maloney.
Here.
Amanda Cirillo. Allison Bidgerano. And Peyton Cole. Okay, so we have 14 members present.
Okay, so we have quorum for today. Thank you very much. So let me proceed now with the next order of business, which is some announcements. I have several things I want to add for today's meeting and for the upcoming semester. The first thing I want to talk about is absences among voting members and how we're treating that going forward. So last semester, it was all of the members of the executive committee, we were all kind of new to this. So we took a very lenient approach to absences because we wanted to try to keep people as involved as possible. But this led to some persistent issues that I think we're still having about attendance among voting members that I think I need to clarify. So first of all, you should be aware that under our charter and bylaws, voting members are required to be present at all meetings, and you're allowed to have only two unexcused absences before you could be removed from your position. Now, starting this semester, we've decided to basically wipe the slate clean for everyone so that we're starting in the same place. But please know that we want to try to take a stricter approach going forward. So because I know there are many people out there who would like to, especially the field representatives today, who would like to have a voice in today's decisions. And so if we're going to start reaching out to you very soon, if you're not sending us some kind of message in advance about whether you're going to be in attendance at the meeting or not. So please be aware of that. The second thing we'd like to talk about is the committee membership signup sheet, which we sent out last week. So again, voting members are required under our governing documents to be a member of at least one committee, preferably serving as a committee chairperson. This requirement does not exist for all the field representatives, but we would like to also encourage everyone to be part of the committee, which is why we sent out this list to try to understand where everyone would like to be placed. So I think what our next step should be in regards to the signup list is we'd like to share that list with the committee chairpersons so that you can then go through the list and find out who has expressed interest in your committee and send out invitations to your next meeting. And then what we really need from you is from the committee chairs is to send Mardik, the VP Ops, a updated list of your members after your first meeting this semester so that we can officially add them to your listservs and everything like that. It's a little bit confusing because some of you requested multiple committees and weren't very sure about what you're asking for. So if that's the case, I'm gonna try to make sure that you're invited to the committee, that all the committees you express interest in, but you ultimately need to choose at least one of them. And if you can't, then you need to update the operations and staffing committee so that we can try to sort things out. Does anyone have any questions about that? Okay. So next thing I need to talk about is that regards to the access fund, which is something that we talked about in the last meeting. I'll just say very briefly that we discussed with the administration about, we'd allocated in our last budget $2,200 to support home technology needs. And after consultation with the administration, we discovered that the access fund distributed approximately $12,000 to grad students for such expenses as laptop repairs, medical expenses, hygiene products, and some emergency travel expenses. And the maximum amount that a single individual can withdraw is about $500. So in their opinion, additional contributions to the fund would be welcome, but we weren't able to put together any kind of resolution for today that would direct that money for that purpose. It's just sort of like a line in our budget that's allocated for this purpose. So under new business, if someone would like to present a motion to contribute a certain amount of money that was allocated in the budget for that purpose, we can consider that. Or if you want to move to allocate money from our reserve funds for a similar purpose, we can talk about that after we've dealt with the privilege motions under new business for today. Next set of things is that we have several external vacancies that we need to address. First is assembly liaisons. We need liaisons for the faculty senate and the employee assembly. These would be persons who would basically just agree to attend the meetings of these other assemblies and then be present so that in case we need to ask any questions about what's going on with it or have be some kind of point of contact with those assemblies, they can serve that purpose. In regards to the university assembly committees, we are looking for volunteers for the infrastructure committee and the welfare committee. If you're interested, I've already explained this committee several times before. So if you are interested in that in some way, please contact the executive committee and we can fill you in on some of the details, especially their meeting schedule and things like that. The public safety advisory committee is also looking for a representative. There are going to be some changes in that committee. And I see that Nate Rogers is here today. So I'm perhaps we can talk a little bit about that, but I think the changes are not yet finalized yet. So, but if anyone is still interested in serving on that committee, we are still looking for someone who can represent us for that. And lastly, I want to say in terms of announcements that the elections of officers will happen at the end of this semester, as well as elections for all the new voting members. If you think you might be interested in running for president, vice president, any of the executive officer positions for next academic year, now would be the time to start thinking about running because that election must be held by the last meeting of this spring semester. So start to think about that. And if you have any questions or you're even thinking about it, then please reach out to me. So I think that's all I'll say in regards to announcements for now. And if anyone else on the executive committee would like to add in on anything I just said, you can feel free to chime in. If not, we will now move on to the approval of the minutes for our previous meeting in December. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I'd like to motion to amend them.
Okay, how would you like to amend them?
I'd like to strike section X point D sub point two from the minutes because it doesn't sound like something I said. And also I just don't understand what it says. And it says that I said it. So I'm just
Can you summarize what it is for those who don't have it in front of us?
Yes. Yeah. I'll find it. I have it pulled up.
You don't have to say a word for word if it's incriminating in some
way. I know it's really not incriminating. It's fine. I just don't understand it. And it says that I said it. Sorry, let me just find it. I thought I had it pulled up, but I don't. Point D sub point two.
I think I found it. Is it that You cited Robert's Rules of Order stating a lot of organizations out of clause provided each person shall only have one vote.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. So if we could just remove that.
Should it be add a clause?
I think what we talked about is for the charter amendment.
Oh,
we discussed
add a clause. Yes, that is exactly what it should say. Thank you. It should say add a clause. And not
all right, so you'd like to amend it to fix that?
Yes, please.
Okay, is there a second to that amendment?
Seconded.
All right, seconded. Is there any discussion? All right, are there any objections to the amendment? Okay, seeing none, then by unanimous consent, it's amended. And we are now back in discussion of the minutes. Is there any further discussion? Oh, also, I think I may not have realized this, but the raising your hand function doesn't work the same way anymore under Zoom. You can now only do it under reactions, and it only holds around for a couple seconds. So if you want to be called upon, I can't see you all at once. Please use the chat feature to try to get my attention, or just say I can. Wendy.
Just for clarification, the raise hand does stay up until a participant lowers it. It's the yes and no functions only stay up for 10 seconds. So purposes, that doesn't work. You can still do raise hand for like a speaker's list.
Okay, so for voting, we're gonna use the chats where I'm gonna call upon the yeses, then call upon the noes. And then abstentions, I'll just leave. I won't call upon that specifically as I usually do. But for raising your hand, I think you can use reactions, and just please be patient because I can't see you all at once. I'll just try to scan through. All right, I don't see any further discussion of the minutes. Are there any objections to approving the minutes as amended? Okay, seeing none, they are hereby approved. And we're now going to move on to the next order of business on our agenda, which is elections. Now, first I want to be clear about, we've been calling upon elections for pretty much every meeting this semester, but this year, because there have been vacancies that have remained outside of the regular term. And you should all be aware that if there is a vacancy over the course of the academic year, the executive committee has the authority to just appoint someone to be the chair of a particular committee. But we haven't been doing that because we want to make sure that people use this meeting to run for that position, and if possible, to be elected by the assembly as we normally would. But even if you're not sure if you want to be a part of that committee during the meeting and nominate yourself for it, you can always send us an email. And if no one else has expressed interest, we'd be happy to just appoint someone as either an interim chair of a committee or as a permanent chair for the remainder of the semester. So I just want to make sure that's clear before we begin. But our first election for today is the Finance Commission. Akarsha was previously elected to the Finance Commission, but unfortunately she had to submit a letter of resignation over the break because she can't manage this responsibility in addition to her work. So if there are no objections from the assembly, I will take by unanimous consent that resignation letter is accepted. But first, let me say, are there any objections to accepting the letter of resignation from Akarsha? Please speak up. Okay, seeing none, then I'll take that letter of resignation as accepted by the assembly. And we will now go on to discuss the vacancy under the Finance Commission. So the executive committee, we've been in discussion with Ariel, who is serving kind of as the interim chair, and we would like to try to find a solution that would incentivize someone to run for this position, because it is really essential that this position be filled, and Ariel cannot continue to substitute for this role forever. So Ariel, would you care to take a minute to explain kind of what's at stake here and why this needs to be filled and what we're trying to do to fix that?
Sure. So the really great thing about your student activity fee is that it can be used to fund graduate and professional student groups that you run. And the Graduate and Professional Student Assembly actually controls that funding mechanism. So we all vote on the rules of what sort of things can get funded. And then, you know, the Finance Commission, which I'm currently the interim chair of, actually helps make that happen. So the chair of the Finance Commission manages the Finance Commission, who reviews all of the budgets that get submitted. You also interface with a lot of the administrators on campus. You propose a lot of the updates to the finance rules. But if there's nobody to do this position, essentially the way that all graduate and professional student groups currently get their funding would break down. And so we don't want that to happen during a pandemic when everybody needs social interactions and needs to be able to like fund club events. And so I'm staying on as interim chair for a little bit until we can find out a solution. Yeah, but really it would be ideal if we could find somebody to do this role or somehow incentivize somebody to take on this role. It is a very difficult and sort of time-consuming position because you have to be available to answer student questions by email. That's one of the most time-consuming things because sometimes the questions are difficult, and also be available to administrators pretty constantly and interface with their needs. And it's also sometimes difficult to, you know, manage a committee of 10 people who's working on reviewing the budgets, and there's a budget cycle every month. So I get that this is not an easy or sometimes fun position, although I guess it can be when you find out interesting things about the workings of student groups and the administration on campus. But yeah, if anybody has any questions, feel free to shoot me an email at arj66 or ask them now if that's allowed, David, I don't know.
Yeah, so I think that while we're here, I'm hoping that we can also discuss whether there are any changes that might incentivize someone to run for it. If there's someone out there who's perhaps on the edge about wanting to do this, but you're worried about the workload, what might be some incentives that would help make it easier, right? And I think Ariel and I, we've been discussing, we're going to have some meetings with the administration to discuss some ways in which this position can be reformed in a way or in some way either like compensated even for the work that's being done so that this can be a little bit easier for someone to do as an individual. So does anyone have any thoughts or opinions about what whether you would like to see certain changes that would make it easier for someone to do this?
So I guess just to say what we were thinking, or yeah. I'll just speak for myself. Sure. I was thinking some things that might be helpful would be collaborating with the administration to advertise GPSA leadership positions, including this one, through like official channels, as opposed to the channels we have available, which have a more limited reach. Finding funding for positions to potentially be compensated at say $15 an hour, just for the more like administrative side of GPSA leadership positions, including this one. Or alternatively, for there to be some sort of time-saving perks. So for example, if there were like a free meal plan or something that you would be on if you were doing this job. And then also potentially like finding ways that administrators could take on duties that are currently associated with this position. There is just a, you know, wide range of things that the finance chair does. So that's specific to the finance chair, but the other things are maybe more broad for other leadership positions. And then, yeah, potentially giving increased GPSAFC funding to the organization that the finance chair belongs to. So that's again, specific to the finance chair. And the sort of, I mean, from my personal perspective, and people can tell me if this is wrong, I think one of the reasons why not a lot of people do this is because, you know, they don't have time to take on a volunteer position like this, either because it's, you know, really discouraged by their advisors and mentors and it takes so much time, or also because you know, people have to work a paying job and therefore can't take on something that has extensive volunteer responsibilities. So the idea would be to either, you know, find a way to make this a position that's compensated somehow, or to have there be, you know, time-saving mechanisms or other desirable things about the position that would make it worth it in other ways.
Yeah, thank you. Nick, you recognize.
Thanks, David. I just want to say there were a number of people that were interested in this commission on the form that I sent out. So I'm just wondering if anyone who signed up to be on the Finance Commission, is anyone kind of on the fence about this or interested about talking about it more? And I also want to fully echo what Ariel said about the possibility of extending greater funding to the organization that actually provides a person to serve as chairperson of that committee. I think that would be a really great incentive for organizations to actually participate in the work of the Finance Commission, and also for us to find a chairperson more easily down the line.
Sorry, Kavya, go ahead.
So two quick thoughts. One, I really like the idea, but I do also want to acknowledge that people are often in multiple organizations. So there's very rarely like a person is only involved in one organization that you would up the money for. So that's something that would need to be figured out. And the second thing is I did want to mention that we are trying to work on a survey, trying to figure out how to incentivize people to join and be more involved in the GPSA. Mm-hmm. So I will email it out sometime during this week. So just, we would really appreciate if you fill that out, just be a 5-minute survey. And it would really help us planning for elections next year. And we will be advertising some of these positions. If you didn't catch all the open positions today, or you think about running later, I will be again emailing, sharing on Twitter and Instagram all the open positions, as well as all the committee positions that are open. So keep an eye out for that as well.
Okay, thank you, Kavya. So while we're here on this topic, if we were to discuss with the administration some way that there would be a material benefit for someone to be serving on a committee chair, is there anything that you guys would be have preference for from what Ariel just mentioned, or is there anything that you would be opposed of us doing, especially if it was some kind of like material benefit or compensation? Does anyone have any opinions you'd like to put on the record for us that would help us guide us in our discussions? Okay, seeing none, I'll take that as authority that we can go and try to develop a plan on what we see as best then. Since we're under elections, would anyone like to nominate someone or themselves right now to run for this chair or be appointed to it? And if I don't see your hand, please speak up because I can't. Oh, Nick.
David, since no one's running, I just wanted to really stress the point again that if we don't have a person here, all funding for student organizations will stop.
Your organization will not get funding if this vacancy isn't resolved soon, because Ariel cannot do this forever, right? So Ariel, one quick question. So can you say just a little bit why, what sort of responsibilities this chair has to do that can't be delegated to other people on the committee? Why is it, what is it like most critical that that people have to understand that has to be done under this role?
Yeah. So essentially what the chair does that's essential is organize the meetings, like the virtual meetings at which people in the Finance Commission review all of the budgets that have been submitted and ensure that they are compliant with the Finance Commission guidelines for funding. So this is a step that has to be done. Like, we have to check that the budgets are okay before the administrators have the go ahead to release funding to groups essentially. And this is actually built into the campus groups interface. So I'm not sure that there would even be an immediate workaround if we wanted to just say, oh, we'll just approve everything, even if it's wrong. I don't know that that could immediately be implemented. So if we as a group weren't going through and approving the budgets, that might just functionally break down.
Yeah.
And of course, I think that's sort of a worst case scenario that we say, okay, let's not review our own budgets in accordance with the Finance Commission rules anymore. So I haven't explored that possibility yet, but of what would happen if we just stopped reviewing things. But so essentially, like, the finance chair organizes the meeting at which the other members review the budgets and, like, assigns everyone to review budgets and, like, oversees that process. So if there's nobody doing that, I mean, it's, I guess the, like, 10 members of the Finance Commission could try and take it into their own hands, but it would kind of be chaos.
Yeah, I guess what I was asking is, it's not really possible to just split the position in two and just make it like a co-chair so that one person does half of the responsibilities, the other person not the other half. That probably
It would be possible to do this as a co-chair position. I think the easiest way to do it would be, like, people would organize every other meeting, right? Mm-hmm. Or, like, you know, one person would respond to questions for a month, and then the next person would respond to student questions for a month. I think, you know, both people would probably have to be on emails to administrators just to, like, keep everybody in the loop. But in terms of, like, answering individual student questions and in terms of organizing monthly meetings, like, that could be delegated.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I think that definitely have to be something we have to try to incorporate in whatever plan we develop for the Finance Commission. Yeah. Okay, does anyone want to have anything else they'd like to add? Please speak up.
I have a question.
Yeah, Nate.
Hi, folks. My name's Nate Rogers. I was a president of GPSA a while back. I'm just here because there's the PSAC discussions coming up. Ariel, my question is, when I was on the Finance Commission back in the day, the commissioners were also answering a lot of the email questions, so it wasn't all going to the chair. I'm wondering, to what extent does that happen now, or are you just basically doing all the email conversation with student groups?
Right. So by answering all the emails, I don't mean I'm answering all of the emails. There are still, so back in your day, I think it would have been through OrgSync, but it was still similar in that students were submitting budgets through an online platform, and then there were Finance Commission members who were assigned to review those budgets. And then those Finance Commission members would be in dialogue with a group if there was something wrong with their budget. So that back and forth still happens. And I am not having all of those conversations. I'm just, like, CC'd on the emails. I don't have to do anything. But what I'm talking about, which is more frequent actually, is students just having a question about how the system works, or they've just, you know, heard my name from somewhere as someone who can, like, help them set up a club or whatever. And so, like, you know, I either have to help them figure out their finance question or, like, direct them to somebody who can actually help them. And that just comes to the finance chair. So it's like a separate stream of email. It's not related to the individual budgets. You're right, those do go to Finance Commission members, and I just oversee that. But there's a separate stream of email that's just at the FC chair. And also all the emails from administrators with questions are just coming at the FC chair as well. Yeah.
Would you say, like, percentage-wise, what would you say is, like, the bulk of the time that you have to put in? How much of it, percentage-wise, is, like, those kind of general purpose, you know, student administrators, emails that come up that maybe could be answered by other folks involved in the commission?
The amount of time that I spend on those, see, the issue is, it's like either I refer them to somebody else and that's really fast, or it's a really complicated question, in which case I probably couldn't refer them to somebody else on the commission, especially somebody who's just joined, if it's, like, a really technical point about, like, the finance guidelines. I would say, like, maybe like half of it could be delegated, but then of that, like, monitoring it to make sure that everybody's email did actually get answered would be tough if there are multiple people in charge of answering the email account, if that makes
sense. How, how much of the overall time, I mean, that you put in as finance chair is like percentage wise is answering these kinds of emails? Sorry, that was kind of my question.
Okay, let's see how long. Oh gosh.
Just a rough estimate. There's no right or wrong answer.
I would say like 30%. I mean, there's also like things that I haven't listed in this position. Like for example, I maintain the Finance Commission website and I wrote all of the guides to submitting budgets and reviewing budgets and whatever. Like I essentially like made the website and maintain it and maintain the tier lists. And there's other stuff that I haven't said that also takes a lot of time. It's not that this job is just an email position.
Nick?
So I also think it's worth noting that Akarsha has agreed to be co-chair with someone.
I think it was vice chair, wasn't it?
Oh, vice chair. Okay. Yeah. Okay. But the work can be split and given to the vice chair as well. So essentially I'm sure that we will be able to find some kind of support system and help out the new person that would run for this position. It's not like you're just going to get all this dropped on you at once. It's a really important position that we need to fill. And I, for one, am personally willing to help someone out if they're willing to step up and run for it.
Yeah, and I will continue to come to Finance Commission meetings and like be there in an advisory role. I just physically can't keep running this for another year.
Right, I understand, yeah. All right, on that note, would anyone like to express their views on the subject or ask any questions for Ariel or run for the position itself? All right, seeing none, I think we have to move on to our next item of business. But Ariel, if you could please put your net ID or your email into the chat so that people can reach out to you. And I'm gonna take this from your responses that we're gonna try to do our best to find a plan that will help support the FC in some substantial way for the next person who runs it. So, but in the meantime, Ariel will be the interim chair, and thank you so much for your service, and we'll be in contact soon about this. Okay. So our next election item is the student advocacy chairperson, which has been vacant for this whole year so far. Would someone like to run for this position today or to express their interest in being appointed for it?
I'm definitely interested David, in...
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
It's okay.
I'm definitely interested in talking to someone about the duties, someone that's done it before. And I'm not quite prepared to commit today, but I'm definitely interested.
So I think that Mardik, who's not here, is the one who's most familiar with it. So we can give you his net ID, I think, or if Nick, if you could give that to him, then, or you could just email us on the executive committee and we'll try to talk with you about
David,
it.
David, I'll set up an email thread for you and I'll connect Mardik into it.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, seeing no other interest, we'll move on to our next election, which is our Masters of Engineering voting member position. So this is someone who is a master's student. And I think they don't have to be from engineering at this point. You can be from any field. Is anyone interested in running to become voting member for this vacancy? Jack?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so can you say just a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Jack Levin. I'm currently a Master of Management Hospitality candidate. Prior to coming to Cornell, I was the general manager of a Marriott hotel. I am born and raised in sunny South Florida, so I'm still learning a little bit about the snow, but I'm getting used to it. The reason I would like to be a voting member at large, or just for this position specifically, is to ensure the MMH community is properly represented. We're an extremely diverse group, but I believe we represent what Cornell has to offer well, and would love the opportunity to contribute to the graduate community.
All right, thanks so much, Jack. Does anyone else want to run for this vacancy? Okay, so I think now we're supposed to vote. Normally I would have people click yes or no, but it seems like that's not going to work. Wendy, can we possibly get the Qualtrics form sent out real quick? I don't know if she's still here. Because I know that we had the form set up, what we usually do for elections, that we choose between multiple people, so you can choose yes or no. Oh, there it is. Okay, please click on the link and cast your vote for Jack for this position. I'll give you maybe a minute.
Sorry, just a point of order. I believe anyone can vote for this, not just voting members, right?
Yeah, not just voting members. So everyone who is either a field representative or voting member can vote for this position. Thank you. Okay, does anyone need any more time? Okay, seeing none, Wendy, can you read the result if you have it available?
Yes, there are 35 votes in favor of electing Jack to the Masters of Engineering voting member position.
Okay, congratulations and welcome to the voting membership, Jack. Okay, now we're going to move on to our next vacancy, which is the Masters at Large voting member. So this is another master's student who does not need to come from any particular division. Would anyone like to run for that vacancy? Okay, seeing none, we'll leave that vacant for now. We'll move on to our next order of business for today, which is division breakout. So during division breakout, please discuss some of the voting members should take the opportunity to hear from the field representatives. And I want to take a special message for the Johnson School. You have one vacant voting member position. So please, during today's division breakout, if you could select from among your field representatives one member who is interested in serving as voting member, you can do that during this time. But for everyone else, there shouldn't be any vacancies available, and I'll use this time to use as you wish. And the attendance sheet is in the chat. Okay, so are we ready to go on?
Yes, we are.
Okay, thank you. All right, that seems about right. So let's move on to our next order of business. But first, did any of the divisions, especially the Johnson division, were you able to reach a decision on a voting member, or are you going to postpone that till later?
Yes, so my name is Chen. I'm the president of Greater China Business Club, and I self-nominated myself to be one of the voting members for the Johnson School. The reason is very simple. I know at Johnson School that the Chinese community represents 40% of the international student class, and also that represents about 13% of the Johnson student body. I think by being the voting member for the Johnson School, we can help the student make their voice heard.
Okay, so thank you very much, Chen, for joining the voting membership. I take it, you know, that just for people who don't understand, so the professional divisions, they decide their own voting members amongst themselves. So since you're a part of that division, then I'll take that as word that the division has decided then. So thank you and welcome. And I think you can start being a voting member immediately by my understanding, so.
My pleasure, thank you.
Thank you. All right, so let's move on to our next order of business, which is the unfinished business from last time, which is the charter amendment. Since the next three resolutions are my own, I'm going to relinquish the chair to Nick until all three of them have been dealt with. So Nick, you're up, yeah.
Thank you, David. With that, we're moving on to unfinished business, resolution 9, extending voting membership to standing committee chairperson, sponsored by David Dunham, president of the GPSA. We tabled this resolution at our last, sorry, we postponed it at our last meeting per the bylaws. I'd like to reopen discussion on that now. So please go ahead and raise your hand if you'd like to be added to the speakers list. David, would you maybe want to just briefly recap? Oh, there you go.
So just to recap, so this resolution amends our charter to grant voting membership to anyone, ex officio voting membership to anyone who is a committee chair. Right now, anyone can be a committee chair. You don't even have to be a GPSA member. So this was one way, I think, that this would incentivize people to take on leadership positions of a voting membership. Of the committee chair, because normally voting members are supposed to just automatically, they're just assumed to be the people who are also running the committees, but that's not necessarily the case. And so I think this could be one way to help just give some further incentives to this. I should also note that according to our charter, it can only be amended with a 2/3 absolute majority of the voting members. So since we just added, we had 14 members here today, plus two more that have been added since then. So that means that we're up to 26, I believe. So out of 26 total, 14, I don't believe we actually have enough to pass this resolution today. So I think we can, Nick, did you want to say something?
I think if everyone votes in favor, we can pass it with a 2/3 majority.
Because 2/3 of, I mean, because we have 26, right?
Oh, 26. Sorry, I thought 26, you said
24. 26 is the total number. We had 14 on the roll call. We added two. That's not quite 2/3 yet. Yeah. So I think the best we can do, we can continue to discuss this and we can amend it if we want, but I think ultimately we have to postpone it one more meeting, unfortunately. With that, I'll give up the floor.
So I see a motion to postpone on the floor.
No, does anyone else want to discuss?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, seeing no one else that wants to discuss this, David, motion to postpone. Does anyone oppose this? If not, I'm just gonna go with unanimous consent to postpone this. I'm not gonna have a vote on postponing it.
Well, I'll second it, at least.
Oh. Yeah, second it, yeah.
Thank you, Cody. Cool, with a motion and a second, does anyone object to this?
Object to postponing, yeah.
Yes, object to postponing. Okay, seeing none, this resolution is postponed to our next meeting. With that, we have exhausted the list of unfinished business and we're moving on to new business. First thing on our list is Resolution 10, establishing the standing rules for the spring semester 2021, sponsored by David Dunham, president of the GPSA. And with that, David, the floor is yours.
Yeah, so thanks. So all this resolution does is establish the regular meeting dates for the rest of this semester. And it switches out one regular date for another, which is the meeting that was supposed to take place on April 26 happens during the wellness days. We like to substitute that for a regular meeting taking place on May 3rd. Apart from that, all the other meetings will take place as scheduled. And the reason they're called standing rules is just because they're things that deal with administrative things, not procedural things. So these are things that we usually pass at the final meeting of the term. But because we need to change something and it seems that we don't actually have standing rules in existence right now, I wanted to introduce it this way just to make sure that we have the confirmation of the assembly. So yeah.
Thank you, David. Does anyone, so I'm opening the floor to debate. Does anyone want to add their name to the speakers list? Feel free to raise your hand. Okay, seeing none, does anyone want to put forward a motion?
I have a motion.
Yes.
I move to suspend the rules that would require postponement of the resolution to the next meeting so that we can vote on it today.
Okay, does this motion have a second?
I second the motion.
Okay, seeing a second, does anyone oppose this? Okay, seeing no opposition to suspending the rules of order, That's an order. So with that, we don't need to postpone it. Does anyone have any other motions or anything to add to the debate?
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
So this extra meeting, is it needed? Because if it's, I mean, the wellness day are for something, right? Like, and I think we're students and we might need those wellness day. So like adding more pressure, and I think a huge problem Cornell had last semester was taking care of the mental health of their students. And I don't wanna, I think it's worth to take into account that we're also in that board, like in, and a lot of us are just finishing our masters or PhD. So like, you know, would that be actual, like what would you add by adding an extra day? That was my question, if you can answer that.
Thank you, David, you're recognized.
All I wanted to do was just make sure that the number of days was equal, so that, because since one day was deleted, I just automatically suggested that we just schedule another meeting instead that was not in the wellness days. But if you think that that's not a good idea, so that the number of meetings is the same, but if you think that we should just delete a meeting and not substitute it, then you're welcome to make a motion to amend it and cancel that other meeting. If you'd like to do that.
So just to clarify, the meeting itself was already scheduled. Mm-hmm. So the current resolution that is on the floor does not suggest adding a new meeting. It just suggests respecting the days of wellness that Cornell has suggested. So in the event that this resolution fails, we would have to meet on that day, unless a new resolution is put forth in which that meeting is canceled or an amendment is made to this one so that it cancels it.
Right.
That makes sense. Okay.
So would you, would you like to amend?
No, it's okay. I didn't understand. I thought that this meant that the meeting at the Wellness Day was going to get canceled either way.
No.
So that's why, and sorry, that was not clear. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah.
Floor is still open for debate. Does anyone have anything else they'd like to add, or does anyone want to put forward any motions? David.
Yeah, I move the previous question and vote on this resolution.
Okay, do we have a second for this motion to move the question?
Second.
Thank you, Cody. So with a second, we are now going to be voting on resolution number 10. And I think the easiest way for me to do this is if I just count raised hands. So can the yeas please raise their hands on the Zoom raise hand button? Thank you. So just the yeses, please. And voting members only. And that would include the newly elected ones as well. Okay. Okay, I see 15 in favor. And then
I'm not seeing a raise hand option for me anymore for some reason. Just add me to the raised hand list.
Okay, so then 17 people in favor. All right, and then if you are against, please speak up and just unmute yourself and just say that you're against or message in the chat. Okay, seeing none, with 17 in favor, 0 against, and 0 abstentions, this motion is in order and it passes. This resolution passes. And we move on to the next agenda item, which is resolution 11, revising and formalizing the procedures for consideration of resolutions, sponsored by David, president of the GPSA. David, the floor is yours.
Yeah, thank you again, everyone. This is a much more substantial resolution, and it does three different things, but I grouped them together under one resolution because they all involve editing the same section of the bylaws. So I didn't want, you know, some to pass but not others. But if you think that you want to split these into different parts, I'm welcome. You can propose a motion to divide the question. So you can say like, oh, the first 2 points I want to do within one resolution, and the third, put that in a separate resolution. We can do that. The first part basically removes our requirement to postpone a resolution at least one meeting after it's been introduced. You've noticed that we've kept having to suspend the rules because we wanted to get something done in the same meeting as introduced. This is a little bit burdensome, I think, and we always have the option to postpone if we want to. I don't think that it's advisable for it to be a requirement every meeting. So the first thing is it deletes that requirement. The second point is that it removes the absolute majority voting requirement for resolution. So normally, if you vote on something, you just count up the number in favor, count up the number against. If the number in favor is greater than the number against, that's a simple majority, right? We require an absolute majority only for resolutions though, which means that it's a majority of all the people who are seated voting members, even if they're not present. And the result of that is that nobody can really abstain because your abstention basically counts as a negative vote. We should give the option for people to actually really abstain from voting if they think that they don't have an opinion about something or they're just unsure, they don't want their vote to count one way or the other. It makes it a lot easier for us to pass resolutions, even if we have like a really thin margin above the quorum, right? I think that's very important. And the third thing is the resolution does is it sets out certain recourses in case the president, myself, fails to convey a resolution to the president of the university within the regular 2-week period. And it sets some, specifically, it calls upon the other officers of the executive committee to send it. And if they refuse to send it, then it goes to the sponsor of the resolution to send it to the president of the university. The reason I want to propose this is not to deal with what if scenarios. It's actually dealing with the question, should all of our adopted resolutions necessarily be conveyed to the president every time? Or do we want to have the option to specify that an adopted resolution is conveyed to some other member of the community apart from President Pollack? So if you're in favor of this, I'm just setting an absolute rule saying, yes, we want to have all the resolutions conveyed to President Pollack that we pass, even if we think that it's not relevant for it to go all the way that far up the ladder. And it just sets out some requirements about who is responsible for what in that situation. So that's a relatively minor change. I'm not totally committed to that if you guys are opposed to it, but I think the first two points are really essential. So with that, I'll yield the floor.
Thank you, David. And with that, the floor is open for the speakers list. If you would like to say something, please go ahead and raise your hand and you will be acknowledged. Seeing no one on the speakers list, I'm going to just open up the floor to any motions, if anyone has any motions they would like to put forward. Yes, David.
Yeah, I moved the previous question on this, okay. So we can vote.
That motion is in order because we suspended the bylaws previously. Do we have a second for this motion?
Seconded.
Thank you. And with that second, we will now be voting on the question of whether to adopt resolution number 11, revising and formalizing the procedures for the consideration of resolutions. With that, all of the yeas, please raise your hand. Has everyone that meant to vote in favor voted in favor? Okay. There we go. Okay, I see 16 votes in favor. Anyone opposed, please go ahead and write in the chat. Okay. And I'm assuming that we have one abstention. So with 16 votes in favor, 0 against, and 1 abstention, this resolution passes. With that, I'd like to return the chairship to David.
Okay, thank you so much, Nick. And thank you all for considering this resolution. I think this makes a really big impact on our ability to do business. And yeah, thank you all for considering it. Our next item of business is committee updates. First committee is the executive committee. Nick, do you have any updates?
The only update is the form that I sent out. We're going to be staffing people into committees. That's Marduk's job. Marduk unfortunately wasn't able to make it today, but if you didn't fill out the form, you are required to be in a committee, you will be assigned to a committee by Marduk. So just reach out to him if you've decided to have a preference as to which one you want to be in. I don't think the executive committee has any other announcements at this time.
Okay, thank you. Kavya for communications.
Hello. I kind of gave my update a little earlier, but like I said, I will be sending out a survey and also sending out some emails with open positions. So we'd really appreciate if you can spread that around. And for a quick, this thing on, as a DIST, this thing, we do have a building allyship, which is one of DIST's foundational events coming up. I'm just trying to figure out the exact date and time for that. How about I come back to that when it actually is DIST's turn? Go ahead.
Okay. So Marduk is not here for operations, so we'll skip that. We already talked about the Finance Commission. Next is appropriations for Akarsha. Akarsha, are you here? I don't think so. All right, moving on to DISC. Is Yu here? Okay, so real quick a note about Yu. Yu is the chair of the Diversity and Inclusion, but we haven't heard from her for an entire year. I've never met her. She hasn't come to any meetings. But since she has not submitted any kind of letter of resignation and it's still the middle of her term, we can't unilaterally kick her out of the DISC chair. What we can only do is the assembly could vote by a 2/3 majority to remove her, someone from a committee chair position. So I can't take that initiative myself, but I think that this may be something we want to consider doing by the next meeting so that if someone is interested in taking control of this committee and actually directing it, then we can actually do something with it. Because from my understanding, nothing is happening. Yeah, Nick.
I'd like to make that motion. I'd like to move that the assembly vote to unseat the chairperson of the Diversity International Student Committee.
Okay, is there a second to the motion to unseat the chair on the basis of lack of attendance and communication? Jack, you're nodding your head. Is that a second?
Second,
okay. Are there any objections to unseating Yu from this chair? No, your chance to speak up. We've taken every effort to try to get in contact with her, but it's unfortunately has been, we've had no success. Okay, see, Nick, do you have a point of order?
Am I allowed to just elaborate on my motion or do we just move on?
Sure, you can go ahead for a second, yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that I personally have sent several emails, haven't received anything. I know David has reached out. We haven't gotten any word whatsoever since we got elected, and there was no word prior to us getting elected either. And this is such a crucial and important committee that is particularly important to me as an international student. And also, I just think we cannot not have a Diversity International Student Committee functioning at the GPSA. So I think it's very important that we make this, we take this action, which might seem a little bit, not in accordance with what we typically do, but it's important that we do it so that we can actually put someone there that is going to take on this serious responsibility.
Yeah, thank you, Nick, for adding those remarks. Okay, seeing no objections, I will take the motion as adopted that UU has been unseated from DISC and this chair will be vacant for election in our next meeting then. Okay. Next is faculty teaching, Cody.
Yeah, so now that we're getting into the spring semester, things are going to be picking up a little bit. I would just like to make an advertisement for this committee because those of you that are afraid of having, not enough time to get involved in a committee. This is something that only meets a handful of times over the course of the semester. It's a really enjoyable committee. And I could certainly use some help with it. I'm going to be having a, I'm not going to be having a baby, but my wife is going to be having a baby in a month. And that is exciting, but not great timing for leading this particular committee. So please join me, help me. You missed my baby shower, but you can do this for me. That's all.
The best gift of all, yes. Yeah. All right, congratulations, yeah. Okay, programming Casey.
Hi, yeah, so we've started up our meetings for the semester. If anyone's interested in hopping on board, we regularly use the Slack. So if anyone messages me on that, I can add you to the channel. Right now we're working with the Big Red Barn and Cornell Chimes to put on a like a build your own wind chimes event. And we're hoping to collaborate more with the Big Red Barn in the future, especially since activities right now are pretty difficult. So yeah, if anyone's interested in helping out, has ideas, let me know. That's it.
All right, thank you so much, Casey. And student advocacy is vacant, so that's all of our committee updates. So we'll now move on to open forum, in which anyone in the community can speak to the GPSA on any question. If anyone is interested in speaking now, please raise your hand. Nick.
Thank you, David. I just wanted to give everyone an update on the ITAP progress. So I know we talked about it at the last meeting. I have not yet started working on a resolution. However, I'd really appreciate any support on working on this resolution. I know Liz told me that she's interested in working on this with me. And also Christine expressed some interest. So I will hopefully be able to set up a meeting soon, but I do think it's very important that the GPSA gets involved in reforming this and just changing this process, because as we noted, such a vast majority of the graduate and professional student population strongly disagrees with what Cornell is doing right now.
Okay, thank you, Nick. Is there any further discussion?
Can you explain that a little more further in detail?
Nick, you want to elaborate a little bit for those who haven't been involved?
So the ITAP is a program that essentially anyone with a non-English sounding name, so I know they claim it's international students, but it's really not. There have been a lot of American students that just have like non-American sounding last names, even if non-English, I guess. Like you can't even say like non-American, that's not a thing. They just basically make you take this test that you don't know about until you actually commit to coming to Cornell. It's not an objective test of like your English proficiency, just kind of like a meetup thing with two people where they ask you like really weird questions where you have to like prove that you can speak English. If you can't, if you don't pass this assessment, you're not allowed to be a TA. You have to take an additional course, and some people have to take this course up to four times. And interestingly, it targets specific demographic groups specifically. And we have students, East Asian students, that have had to take this class three or four times before they're allowed to TA. And a lot of people have to TA to get funding for their program. It's a really weird system that's not in any other of our peer institutions. No one else is doing it. We've also had a lot of complaints about the class itself, which people are forced to attend, saying that they've been called out for not saying their name in an American way, for not sounding essentially, in other words, white enough. Just as an example, during my assessment, I was asked to describe an experience, and to all of the native speakers here, if I were to just ask you, describe an experience, what would you say? Like, I followed up with, what does that mean? And like, oh, well, you should know, you speak English. Well, no, anything can be an experience. So I think this is just a really weird test with really weird goals, and it targets people as they see fit without any proper explanation. So I think it needs to change.
Okay, thank you, Nick. Is there any further discussion? Okay, seeing no further discussion in open forum and seeing that our agenda has been exhausted, I will hereby call this meeting adjourned. We will meet again in 2 weeks' time. Thank you all for your attendance today, and I look forward to hearing from you soon. And those of you who had questions earlier about division breakout, please, my NetID is DD567. You're welcome to send any questions directly to me or about anything that was discussed today that you had questions or comments about. So with that note, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.